The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Time of Grace. It all starts now.
Hello, I'm Pastor Jeremy Maddock with Time of Grace. If you have ever attended a summer camp, you know there are many different activities that the campers participate in, and sometimes one of those activities is the race in which they tie your leg to the leg of another person. The inside leg is tied together with rope or string or tape or something like that, and in order for you to win the race, the two of you together, tied together, have to get to the finish line before anyone else. You have a chance of winning as long as your two bodies are working together in harmony, as long as your inside leg wants to move forward at the same time as their inside leg. But if your bodies are not working together in harmony, well, the results can be pretty disastrous and sometimes kind of funny. The same can be true in a marriage. When a husband and a wife are working together in harmony, when they are serving each other well and moving together in the same direction, the results can be beautiful. You can feel like you're winning not only in marriage, but in life in general. But when a husband and a wife are not working together in harmony, when they're trying to go in different directions, when they're not on the same page, it's never very funny. In fact, it's quite often very disastrous. God knows how difficult it can be sometimes to work in harmony with someone else. And there's a lot of guidance that He gives us in His Word. Today, Pastor Jeske is going to share that guidance with us as we strive for harmony in our marriage relationships.
There is some knowledge that I have in my head right now that I wish I did not have. And one is what it's like to have a child throwing up all over his bed in the middle of the night. I wish that I never knew what that was like. There is some knowledge I don't ever want to have of what it's like to struggle with an addiction to heroin or what it's like to spend 5 years in prison. I don't want that knowledge. Adam and Eve, I think, had some knowledge they didn't want either. Satan promised them that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was going to make them happy. Well, they got the knowledge. All it did was make them afraid and ashamed. I have some ugly knowledge to share with you. Some of you have been victims of the infidelity of a spouse. Some of you have been cheaters, and you look at the damage that you have caused. Some of you have friends who have been the victims or the causes of a marital breakup. And I doubt that there's a man, woman, or child in the room today or within sound of my voice that believes that cheating can really help and heal some marriages. It's a destroyer. It's a scam of the devil. And the devil has found that the bigger he lies, the more plausible it can be. The big lie, it's called. The bigger your lies that you concoct, the more believable they seem. This is part two in my series called Marriage is Hard. Last week I talked to you about the difficulties in communication because not too many people really want to listen to somebody else. Like, you look at your spouse and think, man, I got enough problems on my own. Don't come yap at me with your problems. I got enough of my own to deal with. And so you get deaf, and you pretend to listen, but you're not really listening. We're lazy. We're too lazy to listen carefully, because listening is work. We'd much rather talk, because talking allows you to control the conversation. When you listen, you have to yield. You have to give up. We don't, frankly, any of us, like to yield. We'd rather control. Today I want to talk to you about reason number two why marriage is hard. And that's because it's hard to be content. Now, you might be a newlywed working on your first 6 months of marriage and you might think I'm totally full of it. Okay, just don't argue with me now. Let's talk in about 5 years and we'll see where you're at. Satan will not let you be content in your marriage. Satan will continually massage your resentments over your partner's flaws and will magnify the attractiveness of some other person, will keep you vulnerable and dialed in and attentive to someone else who would like to prey on you and who turns on the attention in order to distract you from your commitment of loyalty. I'd like to eavesdrop on a conversation with you right now that Jesus had with both his enemies and his friends. And both of them kind of disappoint. Both Jesus' friends and his enemies were completely confused about what marriage really is all about and what it really means. And Jesus takes us all the way back to the strategic intent of the Creator when he built marriage in the first place. If you have a Bible near you, open it up with me to Matthew chapter 19. It's the beginning of the Perean ministry. Perea means on the other side of the Jordan. In fact, the country that today is called Jordan. It's on the east bank. You've heard of the west bank, the east bank. Chapter 19 begins talking about Jesus traveling, the end of his Galilean ministry, and now the Perean ministry begins. He spent some months in a slow way working his way down to Jerusalem for the Passover, which really turned out to be his death journey. He was walking to Jerusalem to die. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there, so he had a lot of attention. Now, some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" They weren't really interested in learning. They just pretended. This is a trick question. It's like when reporters today go up to one of the presidential candidates and say, "So what do you think about immigration? What do you think about undocumented workers?" And that's a trick question, because no matter what you answer, you're going to make somebody mad at you. If you say you want to show compassion to people who have traveled a dangerous, treacherous journey, crossed borders at great risk, are working in constant fear of being arrested and deported, and you want to show mercy and compassion and say, we should expedite the naturalization process for all these undocumented workers and get them documented and grant them citizenship, start taxing them to be good old Americans and start paying taxes, and then we'll grow as a country. You'll get beat on by the people who say, "Are you kidding me? They're illegal. If you do that, you will contribute to scoff laws, to the despising of our immigration law. We have laws regulating the way in which you get into our country. If you skip the process, you are you're just a criminal. But if you take that position, then others will say you are a heartless jerk." So that's a kind of a no-win answer. If you know what I mean, just watch what candidates do as they struggle with that question, because it seems no matter which side of that you pick, somebody is going to hate on you for that. Well, they wanted to prank Jesus by setting him up to talk about what are the marriage rules, and they either wanted him to contradict God's word or they wanted him to alienate and infuriate his supporters to diminish his popularity. So they said, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" We call that no-fault divorce. Jesus said, "Haven't you read?" Let's go back to the word. You already know the answer, as much as what he said. You know the answer. Haven't you read in the scripture that in the beginning the Creator made them male and female? Gender is not an evolutionary accident. It is a design of the Creator. He split himself in two, as it were, into males made in his image and females made in his image. We're made this way. He's the one who designed our reproductive ability and our unique way in bringing about the continuity of the human race. It's God's design. And God has a plan for it too. And God also has some ways in which he would like people to form the bonds so that the children to be born will have stability, love, shelter, and security, not be thrown into constant turmoil and financial need. At the beginning, the Creator made them male and female and said, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother." It's not the women who are overconnected to mommy. Notice who's kind of pointed. It's the guy. Let go of your parents as your number one attachment. And they only are now of second rank. The day you get married, your number one relationship is your spouse. Look at her now. That is your number one. leave your father and mother, and you will be united to your wife. The word united is a little pale, a little faint. The word that the Greek New Testament has here in the original of Matthew is kolethesetai. It means you'll be stuck like glue, like super glue. You'll be super glued to your partner. You can't, if your two fingers are super glued together, you cannot separate them without some serious pain, and you may bleed. That's the way God wants us bonded to one another. And in fact, that really does happen. Think of the divorced people you know. I call divorce amputation without surgery, disinfectant, anesthesia, or even bandages, just like ripping a limb off. The divorced people I know bleed and bleed and bleed and bleed and bleed because they were one flesh and now they've been ripped apart. A piece of them has been torn away. That's designed that way on purpose for you to be that close. So be careful. If you're super glued to something, you don't just go yanking that thing around. You work with the person. Or imagine like you're kind of handcuffed to your spouse in a nice way. You can't just go yanking around on that. You're gonna like chafe all the skin right off of you. You got to move carefully. You got to move with each other. You got to be thinking about the other person at all times. If you're one flesh with that person, and of course you are if you're married, walk very carefully, because if you just go your own way, it's gonna hurt as you keep yanking on that bond over and over again. And if it gives way, you're gonna be hurting in a serious way. So you're united, you're stuck like glue to your wife. And the two, here's God's crazy math, the two become one, one flesh. He says it again, in case you missed it the first time, so they are no longer two but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Now you might think, are you kidding me? I decided on the marriage. I'm the man, haven't I? Wasn't it me who got down on one knee? Wasn't it me who procured the ring? Didn't I propose? I'm the one who's doing this. Didn't I promise to stay with you? And the woman's thinking, are you kidding? It was me. I did this. I'm the one who arranged all of this. I knew you were going to ask me long before you did. I'm the one who set this all up. I'm the one pretending to be surprised when you proposed. I'm the one who has pulled you along. I've been slowly jerking the bait and made you keep walking for it. I'm the one who let you catch it finally. I'm the one who did this. And God says, neither of the above. When you are married, I did it, and in fact, I own it. And if you wreck this marriage, you're damaging my property because I claim ownership over all husbands and wives. Isn't that a revolutionary thought? And nobody in Jesus' first audience liked hearing that because they liked to think they were in control. They said, oh, that cannot be. No. Why then did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? Jesus said, Moses permitted it. He didn't command it. Moses, your lawgiver, and God put up with it because you gave them no other choice. Notice he says, he permitted you to divorce your wives because, look at the pronoun here. You would have expected Jesus to say, because their hearts were hard. But what's the pronoun that he uses here? Because your hearts were hard. In other words, the same moral sickness that ran through the people of Israel in their rebellious days is still alive and well. And I see it in you. You're just like them. You view marriage as something you made up to use at your convenience. And if you weary of this dame, you can just send her away with a piece of paper. And you call yourselves believers. You call yourself children of God. Essentially, be ashamed of yourselves. That is not how it was from the beginning. Go back and study God's design. Go back and study His intent. It's because your hearts were hard. Jesus' disciples said, oh man, if this is the situation between a husband and wife, it's better not to marry. So Jesus, I guess you might expect some dumbness from the Pharisees. They wouldn't get it because they didn't believe in Him. But Jesus' friends didn't get it either. They wanted lots of doors open behind them. They wanted to walk away from a marriage that didn't seem to be fun anymore. What? Till death us do part? What? Are you serious, Jesus? This is like, if we unpack that conversation, they're saying, you mean I'm stuck with her for life? What? Oh, man. If I had known that, we'd have maybe still be dating. Jesus said, not everyone can accept this teaching, but only those to whom it has been given. In other words, the only guidance and compelling reason to adopt the Creator's design for marriage is people who believe in the Creator, submit to His direction, and trust Him that this is a good design. Without the Bible, you and I would live in a world even more chaotic with broken families than we have now. Some of you may not believe what I'm telling you. I mean, your argument, of course, isn't with me. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just passing on to you what Jesus said. So I have five challenges for you today. I'm going to get right in your grill and lay this out there. Do you submit yourself to God's teaching on marriage or not? Or are you going to make it up your own way? Do you want control of this yourself and design a relationship that's comfortable and agreeable to you? Second, do you recognize the ways in which, I speak now to those of you who are married, do you accept and recognize the ways in which you have not carried out God's original intent? Do you acknowledge the ways in which you have hurt your spouse? Do you acknowledge and see your own selfishness and deafness? And especially, have you indulged your fantasy of imagining what the grass on the other side of the fence might be like? You ever go to a restaurant? You know, you can really tell the married couples who are eating and the dating couples, can't you? Yes? You know what I mean? Look at the married couples. They're looking around. One of them's got their phone out. They're checking Facebook, checking emails. The guys may be sneaking looks at sports, looking around at the other babes in the room. The wife is going to kick them under the table if he keeps checking out these other dames. And they're kind of looking at everything around and kind of chatting a little bit, but they're not really looking at each other. And the dating couples are like this. They're looking at each other's eyes. Just check this out. You can tell right away who are the dating ones. Because you know why? Because you're bringing game. Because you haven't necessarily closed the deal with the other person yet, so you're bringing game. I get in the face of every one of you who are married. Are you bringing dating energy, or are you just coasting? Are you mailing it in? One of the reasons for 37 million registered Ashley Madison users is because two people got used to mailing it in, and they had stopped bringing dating energy. And they simply thought, we've got an unlimited bank of credits we can draw on, and that should sustain us. And then they wonder why their marriages crack up. Satan hates marriage because it has everything he doesn't have: security, love, affection, bonding, companionship, happiness, and a connection with God. So your enemy is going to bring game to try to destroy your families. And he's going to attack any way he can. And one way is by wrecking your communication. Talked to you about that last week. Today, plan on it. He is going to attack both spouses by making the grass look greener and trying to get them not to be content. For your own sins, there's nowhere to go but to go to the cross of Jesus. Just admit it. Confess your sins and admit all the ways in which you have fallen for the big lie that the grass is greener over there. But then be healed by the forgiveness that Jesus brings. For God's word is not just a set of rules to boss you around. God's word is also healing and strength and wisdom. Single people, do you trust God enough to believe that His design for marriage is good? I've been talking a lot about our sickness in our country of married people acting like they're single. What's just as bad is single people trying to pretend that they're married and wanting the living together part without the commitment part. That's just as bad. First of all, do you acknowledge that God has the right to tell you how to live and that you're accountable to Him and that you break His rules and you will incur guilt? You will sin, and unforgiven sin will put you in hell. Do you submit to that? Do you recognize that? Do you acknowledge it? Do you place yourself under that? Second, do you believe that that's why you need a Savior who has come to bring you cleansing from such poisonous thoughts and actions, and that all of your mistakes, failures, and all the dumb stuff you've ever done by being a sucker for Satan, that is washed away in the blood of Jesus? Do you believe that too, that you can reload, that you can start over? You can reboot your relationship with your God every day, for His grace is new every morning. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God's ways, His fences, are good for you, for your spouse, and especially for your children? Do you believe that? Are you ready to bring dating energy into your relationship right now? Do you listen for, and are you alert enough to spot the scams of Satan? Can you hear the lies coming to you? Can you pick out, can you detect them as they're coming at you? Are you ready? Are you assuming that Satan is going to assault you and your spouse? Are you prepared for this battle? Assume it. Don't blow this off. This is a big deal. Assume that you and your spouse will be tempted to be discontent and unhappy in your relationship, and that in a weak moment, they might pull you away. And just like the Pharisees, just like Jesus' own disciples, to give up on this commitment? Or do you redial into the Creator's beautiful intent that you are super glued together until death us do part? I put this out to you today, not just as God's laws and rules, but He designed this structure to bless you, to make you happy. And the security of looking at your spouse, that's the only one, you are my number one relationship, you are my only one. This is not God just jerking you around and enjoying being your boss and like just controlling you. This is your God loving on you to make your life better, to make your children's life more secure, and also to safeguard the fact that you are in a buddy system, helping each other on your way to eternal life. Does this make sense? Amen.
John Wooden was one of the most successful coaches in the history of college basketball. He coached at UCLA and won multiple national championships. John Wooden was married to a woman named Nellie. He was married to Nellie for 56 years. Nellie was the only woman that he ever kissed over the course of his entire life. Nellie died on March 21st, 1985. John ended up living almost three decades beyond that. And after Nellie died on March 21st, 1985, John got into a habit. On the 21st of every month after that, he would sit down with a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil, and he would write a love letter to Nellie, his dead wife, on the 21st of every month for almost three decades. He continued to take time to express love to his wife. You know, the Bible talks about a love that not even death can destroy, a powerful love that continues to endure even beyond the grave. As we go through life, and especially in marriage, there might be some times that you might become convinced that you're not even going to make it to the grave before your love will be destroyed. There are a lot of challenges that come up in marriage. Moments that you go through where you might be tempted to think that your life might be better off without this person, or it might be better with a different person. Satan hates marriage. He hates love the way that God defines it, and he works very hard to drive a wedge between couples who once promised to love each other forever till death do they part. God knows the challenges of loving and how hard that often is. It cost Jesus the blood that was inside of him. It cost him his skin. It cost him his life to love every one of us, but he gave it because he wanted to show us something. He wanted to show us a love that will stick by your side no matter what it will cost, and that's what he did. God decided to stick by your side no no matter what it cost. And he wants you to know that he's not going anywhere. He came out of his grave on Easter morning to show his disciples and to show the world that there really is nothing, not even death, that can stop divine love when it is put into practice. And he wants you to know that in your relationships too. In God's divine love at the cross, we find forgiveness for every past mistake. We find healing for every wound and every heart that's been broken. And we also find strength to get up on our feet and start over again. That's the beauty of God's love for you. And it is always available to you in the Word of God. I'll be right back to pray with you.
Whether it's in marriage, church, the workplace, or dating relationships, we all have moments when we need help navigating relationships. That's why we want to send you this brand new book by Pastor Jeremy Maddock called Walking Together, Focused on Jesus.
I wrote Walking Together to be a relational tool that speaks as a friend, sharing life-learned biblical principles so you can walk with confidence in any relationship.
Full of core truths, Walking Together is the book you'll love to help you remain undivided in your love for others. And that's by keeping your eyes fixed on the highest example of a true relationship ever, Jesus. Walking Together is our thank you for your donation to help keep this Time of Grace broadcast on the air and online, helping you and others find freedom in God's grace. Call 800-661-3311, text TIME to 313131, or visit timeofgrace.org/store.
I would like you to know how grateful we are for the many ways that you show love to this ministry. Your generous prayers and your generous support allow us to show the love of Jesus and bring the love of Jesus to so many hearts that are hurting so regularly. Thank you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, your perfect love for us is so inspiring that you found contentment in loving us that we make that so difficult sometimes. It's such an amazing gift that we ought never take for granted, but we do. You come to us, though, with your forgiving word of love, with your assurance that there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from your love. We look at the cross and see your great determination to be by our side through absolutely everything. Help us to remember that, especially when we go through hard times in our relationships, when it's difficult to show love, when we're not walking in harmony with the other person, but creating a whole lot of trouble and a whole lot of friction. Restore us always by drawing our attention back to you and the perfect love that you are so determined to show us in everything that you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Lord bless you now as you go out and show your love in all the relationships that God has enabled you to have. I'm Pastor Jeremy Maddock for Time of Grace, and it all starts now.
It all starts now. It all starts now. Time of Grace. It all starts now.
The preceding program was brought to you by the friends and partners of Time of Grace.